you know, we're talking especially about the world and their thought about them, about the Spirit, this Holy Spirit, as an impersonal force in the world. They think of them as just a healing power that's around us in the air, a protective power that you can, you know, just will up and hope for. You know, some would even call it karma, a balancing in the world. They think that's what the Holy Spirit is. That's what the Ruach is, something that moves to balance everything out eventually. But these are all incorrect, aren't they? This is not how Scripture portrays him or how we should be thinking about him in our lives. Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is not just an impersonal power or an impersonal force. The Ruach is not an it, but a him. The Ruach is a person, the third person of that triunity that makes up Adonai. The Ruach is, just as Yeshua is, God himself. The third person of that triunity of the Godhead. He has all the same powers that Adonai has. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient. I always pronounce that name. You know, I thought it was omniscient as well. And then I heard it's pronounced with four syllables, omniscient. So I think I'll go with whatever rolls off my tongue at the moment. Omniscient is the way I normally say it, but he's everywhere at once. He's all powerful and he's all knowing, that omniscient. Amen. That's what I want to speak about more and more about today. And how can we speak of the Ruach HaKodesh if not from the beginning? Where does he start? Because some people, when they're asked that question, what's the start of the Holy Spirit? What's the start of the Ruach HaKodesh? And they'll say, Acts 2, when the Spirit came down on the men. Well, some people, they'll say it was when Yeshua was immersed. They'll go a little bit further back and they'll say it was when Yeshua was immersed by John the Immerser, John the Baptist, and he came out of the water and it was like the dove coming down upon him. They think that's the start of the Ruach HaKodesh. But the true answer is found in the very first verse of Scripture. Because he was even before the very verse of Scripture. So let's look at Genesis 1:1. We all know it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was chaos and waste. Darkness was on the surface of the deep. And the Ruach Elohim was hovering upon the surface of the water. The Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, that Spirit, that the Holy Spirit, before taking on human form by the birth of Yeshua. Or maybe even you understand that before taking on some of the human forms in his visitations on earth, like he visited Abraham. There are some who say that was the Ruach. There are those who will say it was actually Yeshua himself. Hey, you know what? One and the same. One and the same. When we look, we can see him throughout the Tanakh, though. Throughout the Old Covenant. It's not even like a Where's Waldo puzzle where you have to look and search and find. He's just throughout it. You don't even need to look that hard. He's found with Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. He was with the early judges. He was with the prophets. And we're going to see, let's look at Numbers 11 to see how he was with Moses. Numbers 11, starting in 16, says this: Adonai said to Moses, bring me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and their leaders. Take them to the tent of meeting, so they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and speak to you with you there, and I will take some of the ruach that is on you and will place it on them. They will carry with you the burden of the people, so that you will not be carrying it alone. Adonai spoke to Moses, but it was the ruach who was also there. He was there with, on, in, upon Moses as well. We read that Adonai spoke to Moses, but it was Adonai who said he'll take some of that ruach from Moses and put it onto the 70. So that when it became, you know, you lead a nation out of slavery, I bet most of us can guess how tiring that is, how hard that is. How often they came against him. We see this over and over in Scripture. And he says he's going to take that spirit, the same spirit that was on Moses, and put it on the 70 so that they could help him out. And that ruach who was being put onto the leaders of those tribes was there to be a guiding force for them. Guiding force. Maybe there's a better word. Guiding. A guidance counselor for them. A counselor, a strengthener. But he was not just an every so often God. You know, people want to look at situations and say, look, it happened here, it happened there, it happened there. And they think it only happened there, there, and there. But it's all throughout. He is not just an every once in a while God. He is not just an every once in a while ruach. He was with the judges. He was with the prophets. The example of this is found in almost every single book in the Tanakh. And the example I'll share with you today is Micah. Remember, Micah was a prophet who was giving a message from Adonai that Judah, those southern tribes, was still sinning. And because of this, the prophets would be silenced from giving the word of Adonai anymore to them. But Micah says this about himself, Micah 3:8. Nevertheless, I myself am filled with power, with the ruach Adonai, with judgment and with might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Micah says that the other prophets, especially those of the northern tribes, they weren't true prophets. They weren't hearing from Adonai because they didn't have the spirit of Adonai, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit upon them. The words were not his words. They were their own words. Because only a true prophet can hears from Adonai because the spirit, the Ruach, is upon them. And we see this in every single one of the prophets that we read about in the Tanakh. That's the only way that he spoke to them. Still the only way he speaks to us today too, though. We'll get into that either later today or next week. So we see that the Ruach was seen in the Tanakh, but he also shows himself in the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant, even prior to the ministry of Yeshua. You know, we don't get to see a lot of what happens between, the beginning of the new covenant and Yeshua's birth. But there were a few things that happened, and there are important things that happened. So after this approximate 400 years of silence, the Ruach starts showing up again. Now, here's what I would say about that. During this 400 years of silence, I believe wholeheartedly that there was no major prophecy going on. The Lord was quiet during that time. I don't believe he was silent during that time. I don't think that we can say that there were no prophecies going on. They were just quiet little things. Much like today, right? We don't have a Jeremiah. We don't have an Isaiah today. We don't have these major prophets that everyone points to and says, he's definitely a word from God. He's proven himself to be a word, a prophet from God. But there were those around who still heard from him then, just like there are those around who still hear from him today. And we see this in Luke 2. And it says, we're coming to that time just before Yeshua was born. Some heard from the Ruach. Look at a man named Simeon that we read about in Luke 2:25, starting there. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and pious, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Ruach HaKodesh was on him. It says it right there, right? The Ruach was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Ruach HaKodesh that he would not die before he had seen the Anointed One of Israel. It says the Ruach was upon him. So even during these quiet times, the Ruach was moving. Now, I don't believe it was just a one-time thing. But the Ruach told this man, this prophet, this just and pious person, that he would see the Messiah born before he died. And of course, that did happen. He was given the Ruach before Acts 2, before Shavuot or Pentecost, before the birth of John the Immerser, before Yeshua. In fact, as we read the scripture, this was just a normal, just and pious man who the Ruach moved upon. And I think, like I said, I don't think it was that strange of a happening. Because I got to tell you, after 400 years of silence, if this is the first time the Ruach is moving, I think scripture is going to make a bigger deal out of it. People are going to say, whoa, we haven't seen that in a bit. We don't see that. It's just, it was a man with the Ruach on him. Because I believe there were people with the Ruach on him. They may not have been major prophets, but they were still people of spirit-led lives, just and pious, as we're told about him. Not a rabbi, not a great prophet, someone just like you and I. Just and pious. Isn't that what you and I are trying to be as well? Just and pious. The Ruach is on him. And he used Simeon for a reason, so that people would recognize the Messiah when he comes into the temple. Because that's what happened. In the second chapter of Luke, we're told that Yeshua was circumcised on the eighth day and then was brought to the temple after the time that his mother needed to wait to be purified so that he could be offered up to Adonai. Not as a sacrifice. Not then. But you know, that was the normal thing to do on a firstborn. For a son, what were they supposed to wait? It was 8 days to circumcision, and then another 33 days. So it's about 40 days, based on Leviticus 12, that Miriam or Mary would have been bringing Yeshua to the temple to present him to Adonai. It was the job of Simeon to proclaim that child being presented on that day was the Messiah. And Simeon could only do it if the Ruach was upon him. And right after that, we read about the prophetess Anna, who confirmed it, right? So at least two examples of the Ruach making himself known prior to Yeshua, prior to John the Immerser. The Ruach, when working as a prophet, or within or through the prophet, is not a fortune teller. Don't confuse being spirit-filled with fortune telling. It's not a fortune teller. It's one who, as if predicting the future, but a foreteller of Adonai's intentions and good news. That's what a prophet is. Regardless whether the Old Covenant or New Covenant, the Ruach's role is the same. Not to bring glory to the one he's working through, but to Adonai. He does this by either pointing out Adonai or preparing us for Adonai, preparing us for Messiah. These are his roles in the triune of Elohim, of God. Look at how Rav Shaul speaks of the triune nature of Elohim. 2 Corinthians 13, 2 Corinthians 14 if you're using an English scriptures, but 13 if it's a Hebrew scripture, says this: the grace of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah and the love of God and the fellowship of the Ruach HaKodesh be with you all. Amen. Here we can see the roles of each of the triune of Adonai. It is Adonai that loves. It's the grace of Yeshua and by his blood that we can come into the presence of the love of Adonai. And it's the fellowship of the Ruach and the counsel that we get to experience the presence and love of Adonai by the grace and salvation of Yeshua, so that we can understand them better. Three pieces of one God. So many, you know, we know that our Jewish brethren, they want to break it up and say, look, you're talking about three different gods. No, we're not. We're talking about one God, a triune God, an echad God. Each one, the Father, the Son, and the Ruach, having their own role, yet still being only one. That's why, you know, when speaking of praying, some will pray to the Ruach, some will pray to Yeshua, some is going to pray to Abba Father, Adonai. And I'm never going to say they're wrong. It's all one. How could you be wrong? I do say they have different jobs, different role functions. But you know what? If my father was a bus driver. But if he's driving the bus and I walk up to him and I say, Dad, I need, instead of, hey, Mr. Bus Driver, I need, he's not going to deny me. And neither will God. Neither will Adonai. We see something like this in Scripture again in Acts 10:38. 10:38 of Acts says, you know how God anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Ruach HaKodesh and power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. It was God that anointed Yeshua with the Ruach. So do we say that it's the Ruach that heals? Or is it you, Yeshua that uses the Ruach that heals? Or that Adonai used Yeshua who used the Ruach who heals? So which one do we point at? Who's the healer? It doesn't matter which one you point at as the healer. It just is God. It is Elohim. It is him. Although the same scripture, you know, although the same scripture gives roles for each of the Godhead, Shaul describes the roles again in 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Ruach as his pledge. Therefore, we are always confident and know that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. It's because we understand the Ruach as a deposit or the pledge, as it's spoken about here, that we can have confidence that Adonai is going to bring about the resurrection through the Ruach, through Yeshua, through himself. That's the confidence that we can have, that he is going to raise us up. Now, the big question for us is how to maintain that relationship. What do we do to walk with him? Well, Galatians 5 says this in verse 22, but the fruit of the Ruach is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Messiah have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Our relationship with him looks like loving as Yeshua loves, as Adonai loves. Sometimes it looks like even loving more than we can with our physical bodies and with our own spirit, because he is so much more. This is the role of the Ruach. And I'll get to this even further next week with my Shavuot message. But this is what we do. We love as he loves. We move as he moves. Remember the words of John 14. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. You know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Yeshua, who is Adonai, says that he will send another, a helper, who will be with us forever. Notice in the Tree of Life version, the word helper has a capital H. It means it's more than just a description of who he is. It's just another name for him. It is who he is. The NIV, instead of helper, it says counselor and uses a capital C. The King James, it's comforter and the capital C. The Amplified says it's intercessors, advocate, strengthener, and standby. All of these descriptive words of title and titles of who the Ruach is, all capitalized, because that is who the Ruach is, that and that is what he does for us as well. All of that, just to emphasize what was written just a few verses prior in John 16, where it says, I still have much more to tell you, but you cannot handle it just now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into the truth. He will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will tell you, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Ruach has so much more to tell us. Yeshua told us so much while he was on earth. But he says, I can't even tell you everything right now. So I'm going to give you the Spirit who's going to help you. And you know what? Doesn't matter how long you've been Spirit-filled, he's still helping. He's still feeling us. He's still telling us new things. I say, don't get tired of hearing from the Ruach or about the Ruach, because there's just so much more that he has to tell us, that he has to show us, life that he's going to bring us. Don't get tired of speaking about him or to or even to him. So next week I'll speak on your on a Shavuot. I'll give a little, and we'll be speaking a little more about the Ruach HaKodesh, a little more about what he is, why he is, what his purpose is. All of it for His glory and our benefit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, Father, we just thank You for the Ruach HaKodesh that You sent. You sent them as Messiah Yeshua, after He was taken up, said, I will send you the Helper. That Helper is the Ruach. Does come from You. Whether we call You Yeshua in at once. Ruach HaKodesh, help us to move closer so that we can take in as much of Adonai as we possibly can. Help us, Ruach HaKodesh, to know You in a greater measure so that we may have more of You within us. Help us so that we may know more of You. Help us so that we can be more like You, so that we can love like You upon our fellow brethren, as well as upon the world, because when we love on the world, we'll help to bring them into the kingdom. So Ruach, help us to be more like You. We ask that in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. That is who He